We have kept the jihadists in check as much as we can. The destruction of Israel satisfied them for a time.
But they are still poor and filled with hate, said Stoner.
Not only the poor have hatred for the unbelievers, and now, with the Americans building nuclear bombs again, where will they use them except against us?
The Americans fear the same about you.
Pah! The general spat. The fools will unleash jihad upon themselves. We won't be able to hold back the fanatics.
And the world ends in nuclear flames.
God's will, said the general.
No, Stoner replied.
Man's will. Men plan these attacks. And what does it gain you?
The United States has become an armed camp with a repressive government that strangles individual liberties, all in the name of national security.
That isn't my affair, said General Bakhtiar. Not my responsibility.
I believe the Quran says differently. Again the general glanced at his brother. This time the astronomer said,
One can find anything one looks for in the Quran, and in the Christian Bible as well.
With the ghost of a smile, Stoner replied,
True enough.
Still, this move toward nuclear war will wipe out everyone and everything. It's got to stop. The general smiled back at him.
And how will you stop it?
Stoner looked at him for a long, silent moment. At last he asked, If the Americans disband their nuclear program, will you disband Greater Iran's?
What of the Chinese?
The Chinese, too. No one needs nuclear weapons if everyone stops building them. General Bakhtiar said nothing.
You need to stop your programs now, all three of you, before other nations start developing nuclear weapons, said Stoner.
A dream, said the general. You are a dreamer.
Yes, I am a dreamer. Aren't you? Don't you dream of a world at peace, where Greater Iran and all the other nations are secure and prosperous? The general started to reply, hesitated, then finally said,
I dream of a world that accepts Allah and the teachings of the Prophet.
And do you think you can bring about such a world through nuclear war, or even conventional war? Conversion to Islam by the sword, is that truly what you seek? General Bakhtiar looked slightly uncomfortable. He fidgeted in the swivel chair, touched his mustache with a fingertip.
Be aware of two things, General, Stoner told him. One, the bugs that your security people have planted in this room aren't operating. No one can see or hear what we say.
His brows rising, Bakhtiar asked,
And the other thing?
I know what you're really thinking.
You can read my thoughts?
With a tight smile, Stoner replied, No, nothing so mystical. But I can read your face. I can sense slight changes in your blood pressure, little bursts of neurons firing in your body. The astronomer broke into a sudden laugh.
A lie detector! You're a walking lie detector!
Stoner nodded. It's a useful talent. The general stiffened. Stoner got up from his chair. I'll be meeting with the American president soon. Once they abandon their nuclear weaponry program, I'll expect you to disband yours. And he disappeared from the room, leaving the general staring across the desk at his brother, the astronomer. Chapter 9 Sister Angelique had the new morality's commissary send a complete dinner for two up to her studio apartment. Nothing fancy, just a pair of fried chicken entrees with salads and angel cake for dessert. No wine. Decaffeinated cola instead. She had instructed the security police to pick up Tavalera from his apartment in time to deliver him to her room at 8 p.m. Tavalera showed up precisely at 8. Angelique thought he would be pleased to have dinner with her. After all, she reasoned, it can't be much fun for him, locked in that little apartment all day long. Still, as Tavalera stepped into her sitting room, he looked rather tense, wary.
Does he know I drugged him the last time? She wondered.
Of course he does. Stoner must have seen the whole thing and told him about it. I can't keep secrets from Stoner.
but Tavallera thawed easily enough. They made pleasant enough chit-chat while Angelique put out dinner plates on her kitchenette table and pulled the pre-cooked meals from the microwave oven. As they gnawed on the chicken with honey-sticky fingers, Angelique asked, "What's Stoner up to?" Shaking his head while he swallowed, Tavallera said, "Darned if I know."
"You're not in touch with him?"
"Nope. He contacts me when he wants to."
"And you don't know where he is?"
"Nope."
Angelique thought about that for a few moments while she chewed on her salad.
"Stoner knows what Tavallera is doing," she guessed. "He said that Raul is his contact on Earth."
She almost smiled at the thought of Raul Tavallera playing St. Peter to Stoner's Jesus.
"No, it's not like that at all," she told herself. "But if Raul is in danger, Stoner will come to help him." She tucked that idea away in her mind for future reference.
As they started on the meager slices of cake, Tavallera asked, "So how's the Archbishop?"
She blinked, then replied, "He's fine.
He looked pretty sick back there in his office."
"He was in shock. We all were."
"Yeah, but he collapsed."
"He's fine now." Tavallera took a sip of cola, then asked,
"So when does he take Stoner to see the president?"
"Soon," she said. "In a few days."
"Good," said Tavallera. "Wish I could go with him."
"You're not?"
With a shrug, Tavallera answered, "Beats me. He does what he wants to do. Doesn't tell me about it beforehand."
Disappointed, Angelique realized that she couldn't use Tavallera to get to Stoner. She'd have to do it herself.
"Why not?" Angelique asked herself the next morning. She sat at the Archbishop's broad, polished desk and repeated the question, "Why not? Why wait for the Archbishop? I'll set up the meeting in his name." She was surprised and a little awed at how easy it was. When she phoned the president's office, his appointment secretary came right on the screen. No delays, no wading through layers of aides and assistants. Archbishop Overmyer's office was calling, and the president's appointment secretary took the call herself.
"This involves the Starman, Keith Stoner," Angelique said to the image in the phone screen.
The appointment secretary was a middle-aged woman with hair so golden blonde that Angelique knew it was the result of cosmetics. Her face was thin, like a fashion model's, but her eyes were sharp, intense.
"I'm putting this on the scrambler circuit," she said.
"Of course," Angelique agreed. The screen flickered momentarily, then steadied. The appointments secretary said,
"I believe the National Academy of Sciences has been asked to investigate that man's claims."
Angelique smiled sweetly into the screen.
"Archbishop Overmyer has met with him personally and accepts his claim. Stoner really has traveled to the stars."
"Really? The Archbishop believes him?" They chatted on for nearly 10 minutes more. In the end, the appointment secretary told Angelique she could clear half an hour of the president's time the following afternoon at 4 p.m. Angelique thanked her and broke the connection.
"Now how do I get in touch with Stoner?" she asked herself.
"Through Tavallera," she decided. But when she called the apartment she'd given Raul, he wasn't there. Stoner had appeared in Tavallera's locked apartment that morning while the younger man was spooning up some breakfast cereal. He barely dropped any of it when Stoner suddenly manifested himself in the doorway of the kitchenette. Gulping down what he already had in his mouth, Tavallera said,
"You know, you could knock, or ring a bell or something. Let a guy know you're going to pop in."
Stoner grinned back at him. "Come on, Raul, you're getting accustomed to this." Tavallera put down his spoon.
"Yeah, maybe, a little. But still,
would you like a blare of trumpets? Or maybe a gong?
Just say knock-knock before you appear, okay?"
"Knock-knock," Stoner repeated gravely.
"Got it."
"Angelique's working on the White House," Tavallera said. "She's running the Archbishop's office while he's in the hospital." Stoner nodded. Then he said, "Would you like to get out of this apartment for a while?"
"Sure."
"Then let's go." Leaving the breakfast dishes on the kitchenette's slim shelf of a table, Tavallera followed Stoner to the apartment's front door.
"It's locked," he said.
"Yes," Stoner replied. "I know."
He turned the knob and the door opened.